you've probably replaced some of your habitual Google search behavior with ChatGPT. And that's the key thing. If you're forcing a habit change to a different resource than Google, then of course Microsoft wants to, like, the only way to crack Google. It's been so hard to do that for the last 20 years, right? So
yeah.
Well, then let's continue that discussion. What is the most likely use case across the entire population of the planet for this? If we take, say, most people use Google to solve a search query, Google monetizes with ads. If ChatGPT wants to be for everyone, they have to solve that most common use case first. What is that?
I see most people talking about copywriting. GPT-3, all about copywriting. So I'm a copywriter, and so that's why it's so valuable to me.
Yeah, but most people aren't copywriters, right? So
That's right.
And most people aren't business owners. Maybe we should ask our producer. We could bring her in for the last question. What's the...
So we got Jay is our new producer, and he's been taking notes while we're talking here. All right, Jay, what do you think?
What's the most general, broad, the entire planet population use for ChatGPT or an AI?
The most common.
Yeah, Matt's a copywriter, so he loves it, but not most people aren't copywriters, so they don't care. But most people do use Google if they use the internet because they're trying to solve problems. So I'm like, do you think people will use it as a search engine? Is that the most general use case for the entire planet to use it? I don't know.
I've used it personally, again, like listening to you guys, for so many different reasons. Whether you're a business owner using it for personal reasons, again, like for advice purposes, for illustrating purposes, I think every single person can benefit from using this. I can't really answer and say like what specific type of person would benefit from using it. I think everybody can.
Trying to think about your mom or your dad. I always think like people aren't living in tech maybe. How would they use it, you know?
I don't know. Who knows? It might be like a device one day, right? Like think of like a Google device or an Alexa device, something like that, where you can just ask it anything. It can help point things out to you. Again, we were talking earlier about your relationship with AI, how it gets to know you, things like that. And very creepy, of course, but you know, it could potentially just be that as well. I don't see how it can be capped, like what this could be used for.
It's funny because that's what Alexa is supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to ask it almost anything. I don't know why it's sort of stopped and hasn't become as good as a GPT.
I've not really used it a lot personally myself, but I think that it's always held back or like failed somehow to provide me even something simple like a song or listen for, like, it's never been useful very much to me.
Yeah, I agree. I just ask it the weather all the time. That's all we ever do.
Big price to pay to ask for weather.
Two things. One, I asked ChatGPT. ChatGPT believes that the most common use case is for chatbots, for customer service, e-commerce, and healthcare, which is interesting. I just Googled the question, and they're suggesting one of the top use cases being answering questions, basically an alternative to Google search, developing apps, so code, copywriting, such as funny dialogue, composing emails, creating recipes for food. That's what they have here as some of the most common use cases. It is interesting. I guess you're right. Like if you're looking at mass market, they're not going to pay like what I would pay, $100, right? An alternative to Google, let's just pretend that that's going to be the most common use case. It's just Google, but gives you the answer. You don't have to go click and look at anything, right? Yeah. It's immediate. You get the right, you know, it just looks at the whole query, gives you the best answer. And for something like that, I mean, you know, how many people are willing to pay for Google? How many people are using Google every single day?
My guess is this is going to play out when you sign up for it as a tool. It's going to say, this is free if you allow us to use your data. This is not free if you don't want us to use your data. Simple as that. Because think of all the data they can get from harvesting the, you know, everything we ask.
I don't know about that. I see, like, with Microsoft putting in all the money they're putting in, they said they're going to integrate it with, you know, Word and Office, everything, right?
Yeah, let me take a step back then. If Microsoft owns it, different story, because Microsoft has billions of dollars in other income streams, so it doesn't need to make money necessarily from it, directly anyway, from consumers.
They just want to overtake Google. So if they just start offering it inside products, right? Like if it's like in Word, I don't use Word online, I don't even know if they have that, but like imagine like they make Google Docs, but it's better. Now it's like I could just, if I want to use ChatGPT, you know, instead of using Google Docs, I got to use Microsoft Word. I'm switching. But I'm sure Google is going to have something similar.
Yeah. What's interesting though is, Matt, you're a good example. You've probably replaced some of your habitual Google search behavior with ChatGPT. And that's the key thing. If you're forcing a habit change to a different resource than Google, then of course Microsoft wants to, like, the only way to crack Google. It's been so hard to do that for the last 20 years, right? So
yeah.
That's the thing I think is interesting, habit change. Because right now, most people still go to Google for most things.
What's going to be the acronym? Like, you know, you say Google it. What are we going to say now? ChatGPT it? OpenAI it?
Well, how did her work? In the movie, you just gave it a name, right? So it'd be like Jenny or Tim or whatever you want to call your AI, right?
Yeah, he just had a name for her.
Yeah, right at the start, I think, you know, what do you want to call me? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, what about whatever she said? And he was like, oh, okay, that sounds good.
Gotcha.
Yeah, probably it'll be AI or
Jarvis.
Yeah.
I really want to name my AI Jarvis. I don't care.
Yeah, but that's a copywriting tool already.
You know the story about Jasper, right? I don't know why they're like the number one GPT-3 AI tool, whatever, right? I think they're all sort of the same to me. But they were originally called Jarvis. And then Disney went after them because they're like, you can't call it Jarvis. That's our
Disney.
Yeah, yeah. They had to change their name to Jasper.
Disney owns the copyright for that.
I guess so.
Is that because of Iron Man? That's the reason why they own Jarvis?
Yeah.
I didn't know that would be a trademark, though.
I don't think that you could trade like a name like that.
I don't know. Maybe because they were trying to play on a character that was developed in the IP. I don't know the whole story, but that is a true thing. Like, I.
What if it was called Matt, and then they wanted to call it Matt or something, and would they go after you?
Because, like, last I checked, Jarvis is still a name. Like, you can't, you know, like, if you want to name your child Jarvis.
No. Like, let's say if I want to create a soap store, and I call it Apple.
Yeah, so if it's a similar purpose, right?
Yeah, if I want to create a computer company, no way I can call it Apple, right? That's how trademarks work, right?
And Jarvis is a chat AI, ultimately, right? That's what, on Iron Man, it's basically an interface computer, so it's kind of what.
Yeah, it's an AI. So there's a lot of money behind GPT-3 type tools, and now if they start integrating ChatGPT, I guess that also creates a fair market because it's like kind of open source, right? So I guess I could not charge like $300, $500 per month because it's open source, and then somebody else can just use it. I'm assuming here, right? I can create my own tool and then charge you $5 a month. And I think that might put a cap.
You know, Sid created a competitor and he was venture backed as well.
Was he? I don't know. How much did he raise?
He was venture backed and he had to fold because he was beaten. Well, not beaten, but there was one other one that was winning Copy AI. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, well, it's Copy AI, Copy Smith, Right Sonic. These were like, and then Jarvis I saw, or like Jasper now. For some reason, Jasper is like winning. But
yeah,
there was a lot of them coming up on AppSumo last year, right? And as soon as I heard about it, I was like, oh, I'm going to use this. But what I found was when I was trying to write copy using GPT-3, it was just, you know, taking so long to fix it, right? It was not that good. So I was like, this is all garbage, right? It's gibberish, right? So then I would just, it was really good for writing social posts.
Sorry, you said you got gibberish from ChatGPT or gibberish from Jasper?
GPT-3.
Was it GPT-3 or probably GPT-2 or something, one of the earlier versions, I would guess?
No, it's GPT-3. So what you would happen is like, if you're trying to write like a blog post or a script or like something like that, it's just dumb. But for social media posts, like you want the caption, like I was like, I wanted inspirational quotes for women leadership or something like that, right? I was doing this for like a client. I was able within like half an hour to get like 50 captions for social media posts. So then we pair that up with like a picture of the person, put the picture, little caption, get some hashtags. And that was like the best use case I found for GPT-3. People were trying to write ads with it, all that kind of stuff. To me, I don't think that there was, you could tell, like I even have copywriters from the Philippines that were like writing stuff for me. I could completely tell when they're using GPT-3, right? Because it's just, the language is like, it's kind of like the reason, the way that Google is figuring out just kind of becomes gibberish, right? Like you read it and like, it sounds like the words, like you sounds like you're smart, but like you read it and you're like, that makes no sense.
Yeah. And often I can even tell like YouTube videos are getting like this. You'll see like a script that's been paired with stock video footage to kind of create a video. And it's like the top 10, you know, movie stars of the 1980s. And you can tell it's an AI script, AI or stock video footage and just put together probably, well, Andrew, you probably know all about it. So
yeah, there's a term for that. People like to refer to them as cash cow YouTube channels because they're no face, no voice channels, right? You don't have to put your name or your face or anything on there, you know, combine all of these different tools and you're able to spit out these videos. I personally don't know how those channels get off the ground.
How do they rank? That's what I want to know. Yeah.
I don't find those videos enjoyable at all. If I find myself in one of them, I click out because I'm like, no, this is dumb.
I agree. Maybe it's like a long tail thing though. There's just not that many, like they pick something a little bit obscure. There's not many other videos about it.